Hello, and thank you for listening. This is a collaborative story written by storytellers who have visited Raveningham Sculpture Trail in Norfolk. This exhibition runs until the 8th of September 2024, so do come back to hear how the story develops. Part 1. I sit at my desk waiting for them. The rumble in the distance might be announcing their arrival. They are close, I can feel it. But perhaps there is time for one last story. I first met Kavita when I was 6. My parents had taken me for a day out to the seaside. It was a beautiful blue sky day. The air was still, hanging expectantly as the sun's rays warmed the sand dunes. Barefoot, I ran away from my mum and dad, who were too busy bickering to notice. I ran towards the sea, a thin ribbon of greenish blue, way out across the sand. I remember the freedom I felt in that vast, empty expanse. I loved the feeling of the coarse sand in between my toes and the warm air wafting through my fingers as I spun around. I closed my eyes as I looked up towards the sun. When I opened them, she was standing there. She was about my age, maybe older. She was wearing a baseball cap and her ponytail stuck out the back. She had a really cheeky grin, and when she said, "Hey boy, what's your name? Come and see what I found over by the rocks," I felt excited and happy. I'd found a friend. "Sure, let's go," I said. "My name's Ollie." I don't think she told me her name right away. I remember thinking she was the most beautiful creature I'd ever seen. That was until she showed me the rock pool, shining, shimmering in the sunshine. The seaweed was slippery, but Kavita skipped away with ease, excited to show me the biggest pool. It was a wondrous world of life that you could only see if you were still, silent, patient. Ugh, but the reward! Mr. Crab was chasing away the little minnow. The anemone was fluttering her fronds in the gentle ripples. The colours changing in the sunlight hit from different angles as the clouds scudded across the sky. I can't tell you how long we sat together, watching that rock pool, but I loved it. The thing is, though, I'd been missing for some time. It must have been an hour or so because the sun had moved in the sky and my shadow was no longer behind me but beside me. There was also no longer two shadows sitting together enjoying the beautiful sea air. My shadow was alone, and I could feel the water, not cold, but slightly warm, lapping against the tops of my legs. The tide had come in and cut me off from the sand, and Kavita was nowhere to be seen. I looked up, and behind, the cliff was not far away, a chalky, crumbling, low cliff, the layers of millennia clear to see. Recent falls spread like tree roots at the base. I hurried away from the rock pools across the shingle bank. Could I follow the cliff and hope to round the bay? Before I climbed the cliff, there was a shrill whistle. Kavita was standing atop the cliff, a beautiful smile across her laughing face, hair blowing upwards and backwards in the breeze. She reached out to me. I felt I had always known her. Known her eons past, known her sweet soul in heaven, on earth, on Orion's belt. We were here for a purpose, we both knew this. I could see it in her eyes, their blue tinged with a sadness beneath her bright smile. We had been sent here for a perfect union, a blend of knowledge and skills that would change the future on earth forever. Where should we start? Perhaps we should start like the rivers, gently merging towards a shared goal. Or maybe we could be the whole hot clouds of dust in a nebula, twirling and turning and rushing around and creating the beginnings of new worlds, new life. She wears a bucket on her head. Once upon a time, I looked into infinity. It looked back at me. "What are you looking at?" it said. "I don't know, but the dog needs a walk." Infinity had gone before I left the desk. On a beautiful and hot summer's day in July 2024, I sat here watching a swarm of gnats dancing in front of my eyes in time to the beat of the music. I'll remember this time, sat contemplating the Italian Spinoni, who is loving the breeze through his long ears. Sadly, he is on his last few months of his life, but he doesn't know it. I think not knowing what is round the corner maybe is bliss. Being in the moment is precious. a very special start. From a beautiful atmospheric spot to experience nature and yes, like the previous storyteller, stay in the moment, listen, watch, and feel privileged. And the tree had arms, and the tree had a face, and they looked at me and said, "We will put our arms around you." I was wrapped in a silk canopy of myth, wind, and sound. My story is a collection from each of these elements. Then suddenly, the pebble moved through the air. It started to spin and disintegrate. The tiny pieces formed a picture. I saw the face of my mother, long gone, smiling at me and giving me courage for what was to happen next. Mother and father taking me by the hand into the future, looking for what? Who knows? Do you? In the future, slowly turning into our parents, and so it begins again. And he's leaving on a midnight train to Georgia. As I sat at this desk, I dreamt of warm winds and a beautiful story came to me. It started with us leaving, with the knowledge that we are loved, and it is a wonderful life to spend with those around you. I packed a bag of cheese sandwiches, rock cakes and ginger beer to take with me. It's hungry work going on adventures. I knew that I'd need my strength, so I also took my heart with me, a gorgeous dog. Out the garden gate we tramped, my dog and me, and off towards the day's adventure. And I find a desk in the woods where I'm walking, easy to miss yet captivating. The dog was quiet, the forest silent. The desk stood out, yet blended in, looking like home in the forest, yet as if it had just been left. The desk contains some pens and a lovely leather-bound notebook. It also contains another person's life, a pair of glasses by the notebook, a candle once lit. I sit at the desk I know belongs to someone else. Whispers play that belong to no one here. The wind sings in the trees. All the writing before tells me to write some more. So here I leave you a secret. I still love this boy. I know I shouldn't. He is a work of genius, and you feel it through his work. He loves someone else, and she loves him. Has done for years. He is a musician. He never had a teacher, and yet is better than the rest of us. His story will end sadly. He does not love himself or his life, and is slowly destroying it. I request you give him a better one, one that in which he is happy. Let's say he is sitting at the piano, playing away at school. He has hair like fire and is named after a bird. What happens next? As he plays the notes, they fly in the air and blend with his fiery hair. He smiles and closes his eyes, rises slowly in the air and drifts out of the window like a boy in a Chagall painting. Half human, half angel. What happens next? She met her friend where the seagulls fly, where the ice cream melts, where we get wet then dry. She met her friend on golden sand, where creatures crawl, where life's so grand. She met her friend while the sun performed the perfect showing of the perfect dawn. She met her friend. They had so much fun. Until the moon lit up. Until the day was done. After their day at the beach, they went home, and on their stroll home, they found a beautiful field and decided to have a closer look at the beautiful, amazing field. They listened to the wind rustling through the trees. The both of them lay down on the soft, cushioning grass. What was that? A sheep wandering aimlessly through the field. What was it doing? What was it thinking? The sheep started baaing and then jumped over the fence and turned into a cloud, drifting above their heads. As it rose, we watched it slowly fade into the horizon. Then it came back, and it was angry. The cloud grew laser eyes and burned a hole through the book the man was writing in. What a spectacle, she thought. But then realized it was a pair of spectacles. None the wiser, she rose from her chaise longue and thought how very like the word tongue it was. Chaise tongue? Nonsense. Shay town, yes. That was it. A townsperson. A townswoman's guild. Gilded. Guilty? Not guilty. Not guilty. Who was that at the trials? Wast geistat jest. Was the spelling right here? No. It should have been Wast geistat jest. Who was that German lady? Why is she in Norfolk? What will she do next?
Ugh, I'm so thirsty, she said. And hungry, for that matter.
Of course, she said all this in German.
What time does the cafe close?
She asked a passing sheep.
Ah, 1 o'clock, you better hurry.
Frightened, she ran through the wooded glade, where she came upon an old gnarly tree with a hole at the bottom. Getting on all fours, she crawled to the tree and put her head into the hole. Two red eyes stared back at her. This time, she wasn't going to let her fear control her. In her childhood, growing up in her small German village, she had heard many stories about spirits living in the woods and knew of Die Hex, who lived there. She swallowed deeply, opened her mouth, and in a firm voice told the eyes she was coming.
Remember, she said, to breathe.
Then Rupert cried, so we had to leave. We left with untold questions, so we would soon return. But we never did return. We forgot. We left and never returned. Some questions have no answers, simply an abyss that never ends. There isn't supposed to be an answer. Once there was a magic boat and three pirates were hunting for treasure. Treasure comes in all shapes and sizes. Not all that glistens is gold. What we are searching for may not be found in material possessions, but in the hearts of others. The rain fell with saltless tears from the sky, and still I waited, and no one came. Still I waited, and no one came. The sun came out from behind the clouds, and the rain-damp desk began to dry. As I sat, my mind began to journey back to a time when the rain had stopped, and the meadow I was lying in smelled of awe and wonder. The birds emerged from their dry spots to catch insects, and the breeze passed through the leaves, warming them gently. Suddenly, I could hear footsteps behind me. I turned and saw that I was all alone, truly, wonderfully alone, with only my shadow behind me. Where had the footsteps come from? Was it a memory? Was it a ghost that had haunted this meadow? I knew I needed answers, so I decided to walk on. As I was walking, I felt something touch my back. So I turned, and alas, saw nothing. So I carried on walking. Then suddenly I felt hands grip around my throat, and it all went black. I was scared. I was alone, cold and hungry. Then there was a sudden peace. I felt tranquility and acceptance in my life. I am just one pebble on a large beach. A breath of wind in a hurricane, one flake of snow in a blizzard. I realised my life was slowly coming together in a way I hadn't expected. That while my surroundings were still awful and cold and dark, I was working towards inner peace. Strange as it sounds, given the circumstances, I had accepted it, all of this. I felt like I had the strength to leave. I felt the hands let go, and then I was falling. Not scared, but curious. Why wasn't I worried? Why wasn't I concerned about what would happen to me when the fall ended? I can't say, really. But there was no fear. Just time to think, to evaluate, to smile at what has already been, and to wonder what might eventually come. Then the fall ended. Now it is winter. All is cold, all is dark, until Christmas. The warm yellow lights shone from homes in the snow. The children laughed with glee. The moon shone in the dark night. Suddenly, little stones were thrown in at the window. Who was it? Should we open the door? We opened the door and the day is bright, but our nose does feel rather stuffy from the pollen. We began to sneeze. A tissue! A tissue! And our world was all pink and blue. The horizon ahead and a path to follow. Everything was ahead of us, creating the best life for us all. The colours were brighter and more luminous than we had ever seen before. We gazed in wonder, filling our eyes and nostrils with the smells and sounds of the fauna. It seems as if it was alive and talking to us. So vivid was its presence. As we are here, it won't stay long, so we must stay clear. As I sit and ponder, the sounds of nature fill my ears and give me hope. Peace seems so much more peaceful when one is in nature. It truly gives you a break from the hustle and bustle of the city jungle. Into the hubble and bubble of the real world, where all things have always lived with us and without us. To the beach people, the Yu tribe, the great oak beings. Now we can listen to them carefully. And they say. The wind blows through the trees as the sheep call to each other. What are they saying? What is their desires beyond the munching of the next blade of grass? A mystery indeed. Or is it more simple?